Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Isaiah chapter 40 today. And I'm going to kind of gear it. I believe that God just has a word from his word for us today, just as we enter into this time of school and transition into that, whether it's college or high school. We have our first going off to college this year, so that's happening this week. And those are exciting times. And I know my wife has been feeling the stress of school kicking off as well. And so all those different dynamics, they in fact impact our life, impact our families. And so that's what we want to talk a little bit about this morning. Titled the message, Eagle's Wings. You know, one of the animals that kind of captures our attention in America is the bald eagle, isn't it? In fact, here in Nebraska, you see them from time to time. And people, whenever they see them, you see them a lot of times along the Platte River or different places. When you really will see them is during the goose migration, the white geese travel. The bald eagles like to follow them for a reason. They pick off all the ones that are crippled or injured or whatever. And so that you'll see them typically following the white goose population or migration. So you get to see them from time to time in Nebraska. I lived in Alaska for a few years, and up there, they're just kind of like everywhere. But our nation has been so captured by the bald eagle that it is our what? It's the national bird, right? And it is on our official seal, yes. And so it we love watching what an eagle does, whether it's soaring, whether it is going in for the kill, okay? The men probably enjoy that part of it more. They say the biggest bald eagles are in Alaska. A male will get 17 pounds, a fairly large bird. But our reference in our passage this morning in Isaiah chapter 40 talks just about it. There's an illustration just about eagles. And so we're going to talk about that this morning, how we can be like eagles and soar like eagles. And what maybe fascinates us the most about an eagle is its ability to soar, right? To soar above the earth and above sometimes the clutter, the things that are down below. They have a way to get up above and to get above the things of this world and the frustrations of the world and to be able to coast and to soar and to rise above. And I think many of us, even at this time in life, sometimes wonder, with all the school starting and all the things to think about, we need this, we need that. You know, somebody said that the school checklist of what they need to get for their kid is becoming more and more longer. You know, just to get all those things closed to buy and getting ready for the classes. It's a lot to think about. And there's times I think we wish we could rise above the stress, the anxiety, and to have the strength to rise above it. To rise above the problems, the mundane, and the struggles. Well, I think God has a word from us. For us from Isaiah chapter 40, if you're there this morning, starting in verse, we're going to be in 28, and this is what God says to the people of Israel. It says, "Do you not know, have you not heard, that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He does not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. And they will walk, and they will not faint." Father, we ask a blessing over your word this morning. I pray that you would take it and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. We ask it in your name. Amen. In this passage, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah a word of encouragement for the people of Israel. And this past summer, we've talked several times, just in our great stories in the Old Testament, we've talked about when Israel was in captivity in Babylon. And they were there because they had disobeyed God. And for 70 years, they would be in captivity and in exile. And so the first part of Isaiah 1 through 39, chapters 1 through 39, deals with God, Israel, kind of judgmentally. God has this judgmental tone, calls them to repentance, and they fail to do that. But the last part of Isaiah, 40 through 66, is very encouraging. It's very warm. And it's to encourage the people as they come back to Jerusalem. And it was an exciting time for them. They had all longed for that day that they would be released from Babylon. It would be under Cyrus, the king of Persia at that time. The Persian Empire would take over the Babylonians. And he would release them and allow them to come back. So it was an exciting time. But it was a long way back from Iraq, modern-day Iraq, to modern-day Israel. So they had a long journey ahead of them. And that was before the days of U-Haul and Penske, okay? It was loading up the donkeys and their animals and making that long journey along the way. And then they came back to Jerusalem. Their houses had been destroyed. The walls surrounding the city had been destroyed, the temple. So everything was in ruins. And so even after they made the long journey, now they had the task of rebuilding and getting things back to where they needed to be. And so God has an encouraging word for them to help them during this time. And so the first thing that I see, and the notes are in your bulletin there, the first thing that he says is, remember who your God is. Remember who your God is. Now, they knew who God was. Of all the people of the land at that time, they had God's word. They knew who God was. But they had forgotten. In the midst of their difficulty, in the midst of all that was happening, their struggles, they had forgotten who their God was. And that's kind of an easy thing to do, isn't it? We've all been there. If you've walked with God very long, you've all been there as well. Life gets busy. The demands get more than we can bear. Our time with God becomes smaller and smaller before we neglect it altogether. Prayer and reading God's Word, the things that remind us of who God is, we neglect that. And before long, we forget who our God is. And we know the truth, but that realization in our day-to-day life, we forget who He is. And the struggles of our life, the mountains in our pathway, become bigger than the God that we serve. And so Isaiah says, remember who your God is. Who is our God? Well, he describes Him a little bit. He says, first of all, He's the everlasting God. The everlasting God. What does that mean, everlasting? Everlasting. Yeah. He always has been God and He always will be God. I know that, but I can't really understand it because everything I know, everything that I see has a beginning and an end. But our God always has been, He always will be. He's called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He always has been. He's the everlasting God. God is faithful. He won't let us down. He will always be there. He's the everlasting God. Secondly, He's called the creator of all the things, the ends of the earth. He created us and all that we see. He knows a little bit about how we are made. He knows our limitations because He created us. He created mankind. I think that's why one of the things that God first instituted was a Sabbath day. Now, we're not as strict as they were in the Old Testament about the Sabbath, but I think everybody needs to have a Sabbath day, a day that they take a break from their toil, from their work, to refresh and to rejuvenate. I believe that's why God put the Sabbath day in there. Not that God needed it. God didn't. He could have kept on working. Okay? He did it for us, to model it for us that we need a day of rest. He's the creator. Thirdly, His resources of strength and wisdom have no end. Okay? It says, He does not grow tired and weary, is what it says in verse 28. And His understanding no one can fathom. His strength and wisdom have no end. Unlike us as humans, we all have limitations. And our resources do have an end. We are limited in what we can do. He is unlimited in His wisdom, His strength, His power, His understanding. And then number four, this is the best part. He's willing to share that unlimited power and wisdom with you and I. Isn't that great? He's not like the kid that kind of hoards it all and keeps it to himself. You know? God says, you know what? I have all these things. But I'm not going to keep it to myself. I'm willing to share it with my people. His wisdom, his power, his strength. I believe that is why having a consistent time with God is so important, because it is there that we read his word, and as we pray, we connect with God, and we gain from his strength, and he helps us through those times in life. So we must remember who our God is. He's the everlasting God. He's the creator. His resources have no end, and he shares that with us, which leads to the second point. Remember who your God is, but understand that life will deplete your natural resources. Life will deplete your natural resources. You're not God, okay? And I hope that's not a surprise to any of you. But you're not God. God has unlimited power and strength, but you don't. We don't. We become tired and weary under life's pressures and demands. That is normal. That is life. That is the way that we are made. We need a good night's rest to rejuvenate and be refreshed. We need food to give us strength. We need those things. We need a spiritual life so that we renew our spirit inside. We were not made to go alone. We start out strong, but slowly our strength and our reserves run out. And we are left depleted, and we are left in a state of weakness. And Isaiah says, even young men who are specimens of strength, vigor, and stamina, you know what? Even they grow tired. You know, I remember those days when I was vigorous and young. I remember those days. Wish they were still here. But even they grow tired and they get weary. It says they even stumble and they fall. See, as human beings, we all have limits. We can only do so much and we can only go so far before our reserves run low and run thin. Now, the Olympics, is today the last day of the Olympics? I know they're winding down. I think it's today is maybe the last day. But in the Olympics, we see the best of the best, right? Whether it's Michael Phelps or Gabby Douglas or the many Olympians that are out there. And Tammy Steer, you had one of your family that competed in the shot put, took fourth. That's pretty incredible. But we see the best of the best. But even the best have limits, right? They can only go so fast. They can only do so much. But we see some of the best that are athletes in the world compete. But even they have limits to their strength, their speed, their skill, and their stamina. But see, here's the good news. The good news is found in verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And they will soar on wings like eagles. Okay, we saw the footage there, right? They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Now, some of your translations may say those that wait on the Lord. Okay, I don't know if there's any others out there. NIV has hope. But that is an interesting word that is used in the Hebrew. It's a combination of expectation, patience, and trust. And so it's an expectation. It is a confident expectation that God will renew our strength, that we're confident that God is going to come through, that he's going to carry us through when life's demands deplete our reserves. Now, that's not an excuse to not get rest and push ourselves beyond what we're able to do. But sometimes life does that, doesn't it? Your mom or dad, and you're working, and the child, you're up through the night, and sometimes you do your best to do your part, to eat right, to sleep well, but sometimes those things just push you beyond the edge. And God has promised to us to carry us through those times. So that like an eagle, we can soar. It appears with ease, above life's problems, above the struggles, and that he will renew our strength. See, he says, those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. That literally means to be made fresh again, to be renewed. You ever had just a hard workout or worked real hard one day and you're just exhausted. You just fall down. I watch some of the marathons and the Olympics, you know, and they get done, and they're just wiped out. They fall on the ground because they've given all that they have. Now, tomorrow, after they get some food and water and they get some rest, they're going to be renewed and rejuvenated. Okay? But it takes a while to rejuvenate. But that word that He will renew our strength means to be made new again, that He will renew us on the inside so that we have strength. So like the eagle, be swift, powerful, able to soar above life's challenges. It's not a picture of limping through life. It's a picture of vigor, of strength, and of confidence that God has promised to those who put their hope in Him. Now, if anybody knew this principle, it was Paul. We've been talking about him on Wednesday nights as we've been going through the book of Acts. And last week we talked about his first missionary journey, which would take him into modern-day Turkey and Cyprus. But, you know, he encounters a sorcerer and confronts him, kind of a stressful encounter there. And then he goes on for there, and the one place he has to leave for his life, they have to leave because they're threatening to stone him. And eventually, the third place he gets to, they do stone him, and they leave him for dead, right? Take him out of the city, they leave him for dead. And it says that after the people had left, he gets up, shakes off the dust, and goes back into the city. Kind of like, what? Most of us would have said, packed up our bags and headed south, right? Caught the next ship out of there. Paul gets up, goes back into the city, meets with the disciples that are there, and they go on to the next town. And he goes through the same thing again. And he would go on his second and third missionary journey after that. But above all things, Paul knew the secret of finding strength from God. And he says in Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And that just wasn't a cliche for Paul. It's something that he experienced in his own life. For those who hope in God, they go from strength to strength, finding a strength that doesn't come from within, but from God. Like an eagle, they soar. I want to close with a story from David's life. As you look at David's life, he would go mountaintop experiences down to the valleys. And at the beginning of his life, he's anointed by Samuel. Shortly after that, he'd have this encounter with Goliath. And things really begin to take off with David. When you take out, you know, Goliath, a man that nobody else wanted to go against, even some of the best warriors in Israel, and this young man goes out and he conquers him, that kind of promotes you. And before long, David was a general, a captain of Saul's men, and things were going well. He even got one of the king's daughters as a wife. Keeps going up and up in power and status and prestige. But all of a sudden, jealousy began to build in the life of Saul, and he was afraid of David because it appeared to him that David would be the next king, and that's what God had planned. And so in the midst of that, Saul began to persecute David, even threw a spear at him a couple times, tried to take the life of David. And so David would have to leave the king's palace, and he would live a life on the run. He would live in caves and on mountainsides, fearing for his own life. Many times he would escape Saul. Saul would come looking for him. Eventually some men surrounded him, people that were kind of rejects or places that they didn't want these men. Now, they just weren't rejects, and I mean, some of these men were some pretty incredible warriors. You read about them. One guy went down in a pit on a snowy day, killed a lion. Okay, that's, and he won. You should read through this mighty man of valor. They were some pretty incredible guys. They surrounded around David, but David still lived a life on the run. And in the last place before he becomes king, he would actually live amongst the Philistines. Now, the Philistines is where Goliath was from. Okay, and they were one of the main enemies of Israel, but that was the only place he could seek refuge. He sought refuge amongst the enemies of Israel. And they embraced David and his men. In fact, the one day they were going off to battle against Israel, and David and his men were along. And as they get close to Israel, the generals of the Philistines said to the king, "David can't go with us. What happens if he turns on us? and starts fighting against us. And the king says, David, I love you. You've been faithful to me, but you're going to have to go back. The rest of the generals won't fight with if you're here. So David and his men head back. They go back to one of the Philistine towns that had been given to them called Ziklag. Okay. And as they get close to Ziklag, they make the long journey back. They were there, and now they come back. And as they make the long journey back, all of a sudden they see the smoke coming from the city. And that wasn't a good sign. Their hearts begin to start beating. And they increase their pace. They run to the city to find that their city has been destroyed and their wives and their children have all been taken. Everything that's been important to them is gone. And so now they've had this long journey and they come and they find everything that's important to them is gone, has been taken from them. They are devastated. They are crushed. And this is what 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 says. David now was in serious trouble because the men were very bitter about losing their wives and their children. And it was so bad that they began to talk about stoning David, their leader. They were going to turn on David and kill him. They were holding him responsible for this. But David found strength in the Lord his God. It had to have been one of the lowest moments of his life. He had to have been devastated. He had to be crushed. He was physically tired. But he found strength in the Lord his God. It wasn't human strength. It was divine strength from his Lord and his Savior. Those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And he would get enough strength that he could lead his men. They would catch the Amalekites, who are the ones that had taken their wives and their children. They would pursue them, capture them, catch them by surprise. All their wives and their children were safe. They got all their plunder back, and they came back. And God was with him. But it says that David found strength, or he encouraged himself in the Lord, the King James says. And he found strength that allowed him to soar like an eagle and to live out the passage we talked about. Amen? Musicians, if you, we're going to close with that chorus, More Than Amazing. And if you're feeling that back-to-school crunch right now, whether parent, student, teacher, administrator, grandparent, you're feeling that crunch. You know, it's during those times our resources just get a little thin. We kind of lose our patience. It kind of wears thin with sometimes the ones that we love. We just feel that extra stress. We're not ourselves. But God has promised that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Amen? We're going to sing this chorus, More Than Amazing. And if you would stand this morning, would you make that just your prayer? Would you just reach out to Him this morning? If you're feeling that crunch, God has promised to meet you. If you hope with that expectation, that faith, reach out to Him. He has promised to carry you as if on eagle's wings. Amen.